keep trying to tell myself, like, hey, this is actually an opportunity for me right now. Like,
that's not brainwashing. That's positive.
Positive brainwashing. Yeah. But I just thinking. And I do believe that as well. Like, it's not clear to me right now, but this is actually a blessing in disguise. And I think this is a quite pivotal point in my career. And I think it's, yeah, this is an opportunity. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm pretty positive. Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast. This is your co-host, Jules.
And this is your co-host, Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover stories about one another.
We chat about a range of topics from mental health, careers, personal growth, and much more.
Come sit with us
and get
nourished. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Rox.
Hey, Jules.
So Rox and I, we chatted for like 1 hour.
Catching
like
up.
Catching up, and my voice is gone now. I'm the worst podcaster.
We were meant to keep the energy and like channel it into this, but we just had to catch up.
I know.
About, you know, life.
It's so funny. It's like, it's so easy to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I'm just like, oh, Rox, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, keep talking. And we're like, oh, actually, we should probably just like roll.
I know.
And chat.
Yeah, yeah.
On the podcast. I mean, it's not like I haven't seen you for ages, but it's just like, I think
there's so much to catch up
on. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But I actually like doing the little chats that we do before our recordings.
Me too.
Because it warms me up.
Loosens me up.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like in the chatty mode.
I'm feeling chatty.
Yeah.
Today's topic is going to be about
career
related.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of redundancies, interview tips.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. Yeah. We plan to do a pretty tangenty episode.
Yeah.
So basically, on Wednesday last week, I sent a message to Rox. Hey, we need to do a episode on redundancies because I think it's coming my way.
Mm.
And yeah, so on Wednesday, I got made redundant.
No.
I never thought I'd ever say that. I mean, it happens so much now.
It does happen a lot.
But this is my first redundancy, so it feels, I don't know, newbie because I've never experienced it.
Yeah, yeah. But, I haven't experienced it yet either, but I've had a few friends experience it, but it sounds hard. It sounds like a tough thing to go through.
Yeah, I think everyone's coping, like the way they cope with redundancies is different for everyone. And for me, it's funny because like the main like feeling that I was feeling when the redundancy happened was actually relief.
Okay.
Relief. Because for me, in my situation, I knew something like this was coming and we were sort of in like a limbo for a while. So finally something happening, it was like, oh, okay, now I have, you know, closure and now I know like I need to go out and look for jobs. Whereas before I was kind of like in the middle, like in this weird place.
So how, because it's hard to like, it sounds like some people when they're made redundant, it's a sudden thing, you know, or when they get let go or made redundant, it's a sudden thing. But while for you, you kind of knew, but then there's this time of uncertainty. So do you feel like that time, was that really tough? Going through the time before Tuesday, Wednesday, like waiting.
Oh, yeah. You
know? Yeah.
I think.
Or first knowing that you have to mentally prepare for it.
Yeah, I think that part was hard. But I'd prefer it this way, though, than get that shock factor on the day and being caught off guard and finding out. And, you know, you thought you were going into work like any old day, normal, regular day, and then getting made redundant. I think that I can't. I think that would be so, so, so hard. Like, you know, you hear about like those Meta workers who just try and log on and then all their like Slack or whatever is just like cut.
That's so scary.
That's so hard. You can't even like reach out to your colleagues. Like, I'm so used to like just Slacking people and just having that cut off. I think that would feel so weird.
But wouldn't they need any notice? That's so weird.
Some companies do it so shit.
At least like one day. Yeah. And how they handle it is can make it shitter.
Yes.
Like depending on how the companies handle the redundancy. I was just going to say like sometimes when those random meetings, like last minute, not company wide, but like maybe big manager wide levels are like, quick catch up, like quick update. And you're like, what the hell is this meeting for? And everyone's just like, what the hell is this meeting for? And it's like a bit, you're like, oh, you know, what could it be? It could be anything. It could be we're being let go, or it could be redundancy. It could be something good. Yeah. Who knows?
And I hate that quick update.
Yeah. It's like, what?
You'll catch up.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't sure, because I knew the redundancy was coming, right? Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure like how they would save it in our calendars.
Yeah.
So I even Googled it. I was like, what? Like, what are like the meeting titles for redundancies? I couldn't find anything. But for me, it was business update.
Oh, see?
10:30 a.m.
So vague, but not if you knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good, not good. And you know it's like your manager and HR person, and you're like, okay, that's it. That's it's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the time leading up to the redundancy meeting, I was feeling like really weird, and like especially the day before, I was dreading it. I was like, why? I don't want to go into the office. Like, I'm literally like going into the office tomorrow to like be rejected. Mm. We just had an episode about rejection as well prior.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm literally just going there to be rejected. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go. But I think because I was like dreading it so much, on the actual day, it was not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually thought, oh, was that it? Like, it wasn't as scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you for getting through it.
Thank you.
And I'm also sorry for you for going through it, because it just sucks, you know, like the inconvenience. Mm. But you are going through it like a trooper and being really strong about it. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I think what really helps is when people around talk about it. Like, you know how redundancies, it's so alone, common now.
Right? Yeah.
So I thought definitely, like, I know my experience will be different to everyone else's experience who's going through something like this. But I think it's so important to talk about it, because I can't imagine like being made redundant, but like having that shameful feeling as well. Like, you want to hide it, or like attaching your like self-worth to it or something like that. Like, that is just,
I feel like recently, and especially COVID again, there's been so many redundancies, companies closing, or it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I think the feeling is it could happen to anyone, you know, it's not personal. It's like companies changing their whatever and making cuts or whatever. It's like, you know, like you can't actually do anything about it as well, but it's a bit still really tough. Like, I can't imagine, like, depends what life stage you're at as well.
100%. Yeah.
Like, you know, if you had kids, like, oh my God, or if you had mortgage. A huge mortgage, it'd be so stressful. But
yeah, I can definitely see how like different people who are in different life stages are dealing with the redundancy differently, because more or less is like on the line. And I think I'm lucky in the sense that I'm still, you know, I don't have children. I don't have a mortgage. So I'm one of the more relaxed crew members who are like, you know, but yeah, definitely. I do think about it. I'm like, what about like when you're like 45 or 50 or 60? And I don't know. And you, especially like if you've been working there for so long. Yeah. I don't know. Like, you know, those people who just work is life.
And it's really sad when like people or companies let people go and they've, you know, given 10 plus years of their lives to this company, and just like that, like one day it's like, oh, you know, we got to let you go. Like, it's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Actually. But there are, you know, we were chatting before. We have heard of people being like, who are waiting for their redundancy because they've worked so long, then they get a really good payout. But for, you know, people who actually still wanted to keep their job, like, it still really sucks, obviously.
Yeah. I told a few people yesterday that I got made redundant, and one person's reaction was, yes, yeah, like doing that to me. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, why? And he's like, I'm just waiting for my redundancy right now. He's like, I just want it so bad. I'm just like, you know, he has a government job, and he's like, I'm like, what makes you want the redundancy so bad? And he said that it's because he knows the payout will be good and he knows he'll be employable like straight away.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. And I think, yeah, knowing, having the confidence that you're employable is also good too. Like probably a relief. I feel like maybe in our professions and our age right now, even though it shouldn't be an issue, like age shouldn't be an issue, but I have heard that I think it would be harder for people in when they're older. It's just tough, right?
Yeah. And like for me, I'm not somebody who's had like the same job title like throughout my career. It's I've always sort of like moved around.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't know how employable I am because there's so many different types of roles I could apply for, but I'm not like the perfect candidate for those roles as well, if you know what I mean.
But then it makes you more, but then because you have a range of experience, then it makes you more flexible.
That's true.
To work at different roles. And then, you know, you have this diverse experience. I think that's can be a win.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Speaking of like flexibility, I think like my approach with this redundancy and like my next thing or role that I'm going to do is I want to be very like fluid and like flexible. I don't want to be like fixated like, oh, it has to be this perfect role, like ticks all these boxes. I'm being quite open.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. You never know. You might fall into something that is pretty interesting or a different industry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I keep trying to tell myself like this whole redundancy thing is like still very fresh, but I keep trying to like brainwash myself and keep telling myself like, okay, this is actually an opportunity for me right now. Like
that's not brainwashing. That's positive.
Positive like, brainwashing. Yeah, but I just, thinking. And I do believe that as well. Like it's not clear to me right now, but this is actually a blessing in disguise. And I think this is a quite pivotal point in my career. And I think it's, yeah, this is an opportunity and I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm pretty positive about it.
Yeah.
But then I keep telling people like, please though, like check in on me in a few weeks. Cause like it's very up and down.
Yeah.
But I do want to think, yeah, it is a opportunity.
You know, people always say this, but like when one door closes, another one opens. So then it's like forcing, unfortunately it is forcing you to close a door maybe earlier than you thought, but it's definitely an opportunity because you don't know what will happen. Anything could happen. But then I understand there's a bit of like anxiety and stress in that not knowing like what am I doing next? What's the next role? But then it could be also exciting. Like the next role could be an exciting new role that's like,
And the crazy thing about this podcast is like we keep changing so much like while we would do these episodes, like probably going to look back and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was onto something when I said that.
Next few episodes we'll keep checking in.
Yeah.
When you're job ready update. And then you can share with us a job update. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you want to share anything else about the redundancy or are you happy to chat about the next steps?
I wanted to also mention that with the redundancy, there's a lot of like actually grief because it's an end of an era, right?
Yeah.
So I'm actually really sad that I'm not going to be able to work with the people that I used to work with. Yeah.
It's like you're all preparing for this ending. Yeah. I was thinking of dying, but that's not a good word.
Well, speaking of dying, I wore black on the day because I was like, I'm not going to wear colors.
It's kind of like a breakup, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you're emotionally, you know it's going
to
end.
And yeah. The thing I wanted to ask you is like, speaking of breakup, it's like seeing people like being made redundant and seeing me made redundant, how does that make you feel about like your relationship with your job right now and work just in general?
I think like in my first ever full-time role, I had three different designers above me that I was reporting to like one after the other in the span of 1 year. So I think some were made redundant or let go of. The first designer I worked for, she was actually pregnant and she went on mat leave, but then they didn't let her come back. Like, they just made her role redundant, but actually they hired another designer.
Mm.
How awkward, right?
Yeah.
So just shit like that, right? Mm. Like, shit like that I just witnessed from the start, like, in the fashion industry, and I was like, oh, it's bullshit. So anyone's replaceable.
Mm.
I knew that, you know, your workplace could treat you like shit and it's just a job, like, not just a job, but I'm like, you obviously, when you're working there, you want to be engaged and you want to like what you do. You want to like your team and you want to do your best in your role and, you know, perform and, you know, do well and stuff and hopefully progress there. But at the same time, the reality is you could be let go whenever, really. Yeah. There's a contract that you sign, you know, when you sign on a contract at the start of a role, I check. Oh, what's the what's the period of time during my probation, that notice period during probation or after probation? It's like, oh, 1 month, 2 months, or 2 weeks. I think usually Australia is 2 weeks, but
yeah,
when I was in Hong Kong, it was like there was a role for like 2 months, and I was like, or 1 month, and I was like, who's it? 2 months is so long.
Yeah.
As a notice period, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, I think everyone looks at that. Do you look at that when you sign a contract?
Not so much.
Really?
Like, especially now I got the redundancy pay. I'm like, damn, I should have looked at these things.
Maybe I'm just because, like,
the notice period's actually like really helpful.
Yeah.
Helpful for redundancy.
Right.
Because if you have a longer notice period, you get more.
More, exactly. And But sometimes longer isn't a good thing either.
No.
If you find a new job and you're like, damn, yeah, I have 2 months notice. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, speaking with my other colleagues, like, I feel like other people do, they know about their notice period more, whereas that's the section I sort of like, don't really look that closely.
Right, right. I think I check, the main things I check are like leave.
Yeah.
Leave. Benefits,
hey. Oh,
super,
yeah.
Actually, a lot of things,
yeah.
But probably, like, mainly, it's like leave and notice period.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, your pay. That's like number one.
Yeah.
Did you get it right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess the question, answering your question, it's like, as an employee and as a person that doesn't own the business, it's like, it's a contract, it's a working relationship. It can be ended, and it's obviously sad, but it's just the truth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. The more time you put into it, the more it is the feelings, right?
Yeah, like, and also like time, but also like that whatever environment you're in as well.
Mm.
Like the culture of like that job. I think, I don't know, at least for me, I like just adapt to like whatever environment I'm in. So if everyone's like hustling and like working till really late, like, I find it really hard to be like, oh, clocking off at 5 now. Like,
yeah,
it's harder for me to do that. But yeah, I always think, like, what I was going to say is I always feel like with every job, it's kind of like a boyfriend, partner.
It is. You know, when you were just talking about all of this, I just, if I look back on things, a lot of the time it's like during that time I was working there. Like, that period of my life was my job. My job was this, was X. And at that time you're going through, you remember like, oh, yeah, all that shit that I went through, or, you know, all the good things or whatever. Oh, the team was so good, or I did those great things, blah, blah, whatever it might be. But, like, the job is, like, a period.
Yeah.
And then it's over. And then it's, like, the next job is a different period to me.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of like school, primary school, high school, uni, job, unemployment, job.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apart from like relationships, so it's
like,
you know?
Like
it's like chapters.
Chapters, yeah. 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 It is.
It really is.
It really is.
A job is a whole freaking chapter.
And life is a book.
It is.
Yeah. It is. That's why, like,
it really shapes you.
It does.
Because the culture affects your stress levels, your lifestyle. Because if certain companies have a certain culture or, like, you know, you go out a lot with the colleagues, but yeah, when you're younger, I don't know. It's just
different. Why I get so jealous of like those grads who get into a really good company and like with good culture. And like some people are so blessed from their grad roles. Like,
how many? Who do you know?
I don't know.
What grad roles?
Like, I'm in like Google and like big companies. Like, but I don't know.
People come out of those companies and say how stressful it was. Yeah, too.
I think because I'm on the other side where I'm like, oh, damn,
those
agencies.
I'm like, oh, wow, they sound like really good companies to work for.
But yeah. I have another question, like with redundancies, like speaking of redundancies, if you were an employer, like for example, just say we as Asian Soup Podcast, there's only really two of us and our video editor Albert, but there's only three of us. Just say we had like 10 more employees and then for some reason we get cancelled because they said something like wrong, and then we have to like cut all our employees off. Like,
how would you deal with it?
Yeah, how does that feel, like being like the person who has to like potentially cut, like make people redundant?
I think it depends how big the company was, right? What do you think?
I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah. It's like really dependent on the company size. Because for some reason, if it's like under 25 people, you know, that's like still small business.
It's just the amount of time you spend with the people at work that makes it like that.
Yeah.
And the passion of a smaller business owner, because they're giving it their all and they're probably like putting so much time into it and stuff. But and because it's a small company, if you work there, you have to do a bit of everything. So you feel like you've contributed so much to the, you know, the small company. It kind of feels that closeness.
Yeah.
And the, but at the end of the day,
yeah,
if we're the boss,
yeah,
and if we fail,
yeah,
and if we're not making enough money to cover 10 employees, it would be really sad because it's like you're responsible for their livelihoods. Like they might have kids. They are supporting their own personal goals, like paying off a house or even paying rent, whatever, like helping their parents out. Who knows what they're doing, right? Like it's just a lot of pressure, I think, being a business owner and providing jobs.
Yeah.
But what if there's someone that doesn't work that well?
You may fire them.
Yeah. And it's not a redundancy. It's like they aren't performing and you literally know you could pay someone the same.
Yeah.
But they would be, you didn't realize. You just didn't realize.
Oh, shit. Like, I think that's hard for me.
It's so hard to hire the right people.
Yeah. I think that's harder. I think I'd rather say like, hey, our company's doing really bad. Like at least there's a reason, like an external reason. Whereas if it's like the problem is you, like,
that's,
you know,
so
that's
awkward.
Hard.
Yeah, I would not know what to do. But the bigger the company, the less they care. The distance between.
Yeah.
It's just huge.
Yeah.
It's just a procedure then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I've felt that with my redundancy, because it's like my company's part of a big company and for them it's just, yeah, they have a whole procedure, they have a script, you know. But I was thinking, like, if we were made redundant, we were making some people redundant, I feel like I would want our employees not to be like those people who go above and beyond and like do too much. Like, at least between me and Rox, we're always like, oh, our wellness is number one, like our well-being is first.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would hopefully, like if I saw someone like working till midnight, I'll be like, that's not our culture here.
Yeah. And knowing that, I think we would probably, so hypothetical.
So hypothetical right
knowing
now.
Knowing that, I feel like we would also give them the notice, like, guys, shit, we're doing really bad.
Right.
Like if you can look for a job, I would, like, give that heads up.
Yeah,
I think it's important. Or even like, if I knew any friends or roles, if I like, you know, I don't know, just try to help out, because it would feel like it's my fault, like that the ship is sinking anyway. Right.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then I think if you're like a medium sized business
owner, or a media company now.
No, medium sized.
Oh, medium sized.
Medium sized.
Oh, like, but say, we could be like,
we could be a media company.
Yeah, agency.
Oh, yeah, agency media.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of our ideas. So, like, if we had like 50 to 100, there's like a level of compassion you need to have. But then at the same time, there's a level of like just being professional. You can't take on everyone's personal issues in a way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that you can't take the weight of everyone. Yeah. And work is work. Because yeah. Imagine you'd be so tired if you're worried about everyone too much.
Yeah.
Right. And then you need to focus on the business and make sure you guys make money. So,
yeah.
90% of the people are fine, right? Mm. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Is it like two people versus like risking the 50 Mm-mm. people who have jobs? Or is it like, is this change in strategy going to help us grow, you know, threefold or Mm-mm. fivefold by unfortunately letting some people go? Like, I don't know what people think. Obviously, I do not have a business. Like, I do not have a big company and I don't have employees. So I have no idea how this shit works. But I'm just thinking, like, maybe they have to just, that's just what happens.
Yeah. You know?
They're doing it for their business. Yeah. Like, they want to.
Because that's their job.
They need to succeed.
Yeah. Like, that's their job, to keep the business afloat.
Yeah.
It's not a charity.
Yeah.
Trying to take care of every single person.
Like, it's, they must have to make decisions like that.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah. 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 And being one of the people who are being cut right now, I get it. Like, I get it. It just happens.
It just happens.
Yeah. There is a part of me that's like, well, maybe if you guys did XYZ, this wouldn't have happened. Like, part of me do feel like that.
True.
Like, you do look at those big decisions made and you're like, that was a bad
move. If they didn't spend on that, then this wouldn't happen.
Like, exactly.
Yes, that is true. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know why we're like debating.
I like it.
But at the end of the day, it's like, it's on them. It's their mistake still. Because I always feel like in Cantonese, they call it like, if I'm on the bottom, I'm a small potato.
Oh, that's so cute.
I'm just a small potato, you know, like I can't influence much change. I'm just like the lower ranks of people that, like, you know, the people just you know, doing their thing and, you know, it's like, I'm just a small potato. I can see the issues, but at the end of the day, it's not my company and you guys are sinking in one direction, but, you know, like, at least it's not on me kind of thing. And I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the moral here? Like, if you're a small potato, like, what is the takeaway lesson? Is it like, I think you have, but you know what? Like, saying I'm a small potato, it's like, you're aware. You're just like, what do you call it? A cog in the works whatever. Yeah. Like, it's good. It's like awareness thing. It's like, you're not thinking like, oh, I'm going to make waves here. Like, but you're just a small potato.
But that is also, so thinking, I think we were talking about this like last time, but because that's in the culture in Hong Kong, I feel a lot of like people in, or maybe more local people in Hong Kong wouldn't be as confident to speak up about shit. So then it's like, that's not the best way either. Cause then, but in Australia, I think everyone feels like, well, it depends where you work, but it feels more normal to voice your opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
To like confront a boss or manager or talk to people about it. Like, I think it's, you're a bit more heard here, if that makes sense.
I think so. That says a lot about CBA then, doesn't it? Like, means that people feel
at least they
medium
can voice,
potato.
Yeah, they can voice their dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Hearing where you're at now, Jules, what are you thinking as your game plan for, you know, the time coming up, like looking for new roles? What do you think you're gonna tackle first, or how you're gonna go about it? Because it is very tricky.
Yeah, I think in season one, episode two, when we talk about career change, I do talk about like unemployment, like how I went through unemployment for a little bit, and that was really like hard. that was also because like I was just starting out in a new career.
Changing careers.
So it was so hard. So this time I feel more confident. But I think because I had a little bit of experience there, I sort of have an idea of like how I want to approach the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, Wednesday was when I got made redundant. Thursday, Friday, I just completely didn't touch anything. Like I, no resumes. Even like I'll find myself scrolling on LinkedIn and I'm like, no, let's just come on. Give yourself a break.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave yourself a break.
It was hard. Or
even a longer break.
It was hard.
It's just.
But I did.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
So I got a facial and something like I really want to prioritize is like going to the gym.
Mm.
I'm on a bit of a gym kick at the moment. So like health kick. And I'm just like, okay, if I'm going to do one thing for myself is like I want to exercise because I think that's going to keep me like going.
Motivated, yeah.
I don't know if I told you this before. But have I told you I'm doing cold showers right now?
I think you did. Did you tell me? I think you did. Maybe. And I was like, I can't do cold showers.
Yeah. So I'm still doing the cold showers.
Oh my God.
If you want to hear me really loudly, you got to see me in a cold shower.
Oh, do you scream?
I don't scream. I breathe so loudly. So my technique is I turn the cold water on. You don't even have to wait for it to like warm up, right?
Yeah, it's cold already.
It's already cold. Because like, in the beginning, I turned it on and let it run. And I'm like, what am I doing? I don't need to do that. Turn it on and I step in and the back of your neck, I aim for that.
Is that what you meant to do?
No, that's just my technique.
Oh, just your technique.
That's my routine. I go in there, get the back of the neck, and then I'm like, like I breathe so loudly.
That's breathe through the pain.
Yeah, the pain. So I do that and yeah, I feel great afterwards and I feel like I've accomplished something as well every time.
Do you feel strong? Because it's
scared. I feel proud. Like look I'm at scared. Me right
it's
now.
It's like a fear. It's like a
yeah,
fear.
Yeah,
you're,
it's scary.
You're just accomplishing something straight away.
Exactly. That's why like me sharing this, don't I look really proud? I'm like,
yeah,
I'm really proud.
Maybe that's why you're so tough. With this whole thing.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. You're like, I got this.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like because I'm doing cold showers, going to the gym. Yeah. I do wonder like if I didn't have that, I might have been a wreck right now. Who knows?
I don't know. It maybe helps with like confidence and I don't know, just starting the day properly. Yeah.
I just noticed you're sitting the same as me.
You know when
like people like connecting?
You mirror.
Yeah, you're mirroring me. Oh, I'm touched.
I need a hat.
So, yeah, keep doing those things like on a day to day. But with job seeking and stuff like that, I think I want to try and not do like 10 resumes a day kind of thing. I want to do like one every few days, like few a week, like is okay. Because I'm the type of person
like
that.
Submitting. Like applying, yeah.
Yeah, I'm somebody who would rather like. Fine tune their resume and then apply for one role rather than
doing
spray.
10. Yeah, yeah.
Spray like heaps.
I think at this point as well, it's more you can afford to be more picky or find the right role too.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least in the beginning, at least. Maybe at the end, I might be like, rocks, I'm doing one of these.
Maybe some days you'll be like, oh, I'll just send out 20. Yeah. And then some days you'll be like, I'll just do one.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Or zero, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I would definitely like go with how I feel as well. But yeah, kind of like take it easy, be kind to myself because I can be very hard on myself.
Yes,
so
not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to check in on me, please.
Yes, I will.
Are you being hard on yourself? Like,
are you being gentle on yourself?
Yes. Yes, I am, Rox. I'm being
aside from the cold showers,
I am being gentle. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my sort of game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Rox is actually so good when it comes to, like, career tips and stuff like that.
I just sound like it. But
no, but you do know. Like, you shared some good tips in our career episode, episode 2.
Oh,
do you have any
–
I was going to say, do you have any tips for me?
No, I think you'll be fine. And then – I really liked your summary just now about like how, you know, going to the gym and your cold showers. Like, I think that's so important to not just to add that lifestyle part to make sure you're doing okay. Because I think during a time like this, it's really easy to forget to take care of yourself in different ways.
Mm.
like, you know, make sure you're eating right and doing other stuff and not just every day waking up and applying for jobs. Like, that is so draining.
Yeah.
You know?
Even, like, personal hygiene sometimes.
Right? Yeah.
Like, sometimes you just get so lazy.
Yeah.
And you just like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Not seeing anyone.
Yeah. You
know, staying PJs.
Yeah. So just, keeping some kind of routine for yourself is good.
Yeah. I have a tendency to, like, become quite a slob. You know what I mean? Like, you just become... Yeah.
Like at home.
A potato slob. In a different way. But because I'm aware of that, I want to try and... Yeah, I don't know. It's like me being mature, you know? Like, you know yourself, so you're, like, putting things into place. So you don't fall into your old habits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about with, resumes? Do you think it should be 1, 2, or 3 pages? Like, and how long is yours?
I personally think it should just be 1.
Oh,
At our age and stage of career.
Yep. Mine's 1.
Yeah. Unless you're like a senior level and you're like 40 and you've done so much you need to put in 2 years, but 2 pages, sorry. I don't know. I think 1 page is just a lot more.
You know how it's like so much pressure to like have a good one?
Yeah.
Like what's going to help me a lot is – it's going to be no surprise when I say it, but...
ChatGPT.
Oh, there you go. It's already helping me so much.
Yeah, it's so helpful.
You can literally, like, do so much with it. Like,
yeah.
I would literally copy and... I feel like this is really obvious stuff, but you can copy and paste, like, a job description.
Yeah.
Paste it in and say...
Make a resume.
Yeah. And then you can just, like, lift things.
Yeah.
Or even, like, the cover letters are the best.
Yeah, cover letters would be so helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cover letters I used to have trouble with because it's like I would have a template and then adjust the company name and a few things. But if ChatGPT, it would help so much more and then edit it and make it more personal.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to – don't sound like a robot. We don't want to sound like a robot.
No.
But, yeah, it's really helpful.
It's so good.
It just spits it out so quickly.
You could even like copy and paste your old one and be like make it fit better. This.
Yeah.
Make it better. Make it fit this role.
Yeah. Or cut more. It down.
Yeah, cut it down.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do, use it for interview tips, like how do I prepare for a second interview for this role? What kind of questions are good to ask?
Good to prepare questions.
Yeah. What are some good questions to ask my interviewer?
It's really important to have good questions for the job you're going for, I think. Like sometimes the questions you ask I feel are what impresses them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's like your opportunity to – Shine.
What do they think about? Wow. That's no one, you know, the other candidates didn't ask me that. You know, it's like that.
Yeah, sometimes it's like you want them to now I'm going overboard, but like move them a little bit. You're like,
We both went, oh.
Also, I use ChatGPT to ask I asked ChatGPT, what questions should I ask in my redundancy meeting as well?
Okay.
So very handy. Good. It's like, it told me to ask questions like, why is my role being made redundant? What was the selection process? What is like the process moving forward? How many people got made redundant? Try it, guys. So good.
Did you do that before your HR and manager meeting?
Yeah, the day before.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, I knew it was coming because they said I have to come in to
now the office. Now I know if it happens to me
to
prepare those questions.
I asked, do you use ChatGPT a lot?
Not so much at work, more so in like just stuff I do with kin or my personal life. But I probably should. I probably could, like in terms of some emails and stuff like that, but not too much. Yeah.
I think I use it a lot. Like, I'm not the type of person that will copy and paste everything. I just like lifting like just some lines and just making it my own.
Yeah.
But I do use it quite a fair bit. Like even today's episode,
it's really useful. Yeah.
I used it for today's episode. I mean, we didn't end up using any of it, but it's just nice to have something there, like a first draft.
Yeah. You have it all laid out there.
Actually, one good thing that ChatGPT suggested was mastering interview techniques as a topic.
That's pretty good.
Do you have any good interview tips?
Interview tips.
Like how do you prepare? I find that to be hard.
Preparing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, both. Like preparation and like on the day?
I mean, I've flunked heaps of interviews, like let's be real too, because I'm not like, I don't get everything I interview for. I've failed a lot of interviews, but then I don't know if it's the right way, but I always just research the company.
Yeah.
Look at what they do, look at their website, look at my team, or at least who's interviewing me and the role, obviously, like just copy and paste the whole job description. And then any competitors, I guess, and look at what competitors in that industry is doing or whatever. I don't know. And then I think from there, questions will come too. And then just noting like, oh, okay, I wonder what that is, or something that looked interesting, or that's really general. Sorry.
Yeah. No, but it's good. It's a good like place for me to start researching the company. I find that to be tricky even in itself. Yeah. Like sometimes
it is hard.
It's like, what do you do? Like the About Us page, the LinkedIn page, like what am I looking at?
Right.
And which one's accurate?
Because you really don't know until you're in it.
Yeah.
What you're doing.
Yeah. So true.
Before you start something, it's like you have no idea part of it you're going to, like, I don't know. It's just hard.
Yeah.
I guess another thing is treating the interview, trying to treat it more like a conversation. I do like to think it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just treating it more like a conversation and like a professional conversation.
I think that's more professional in a way rather than having a, like, question-answer. It's like, oh,
yeah.
You know, if you have a bit of that conversational flow,
yeah,
it feels a little bit more like, oh, I can actually get along with this person. Like I'm vibing with this person. I can imagine having this person on my team.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if the conversation doesn't flow, it's an indicator for you as well.
Like that was off. The vibe was off. Yeah. You know, like it was just weird.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another thing that I always do, I just know my spiel. Like I just know my story. Because when you first have an interview, it's like, okay, so Roxanne, tell me a bit about your background. Like I feel like that question always comes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start from wherever I start and then I go through and then it's like a story that is more or less the same every time.
I go for the more chatty version as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know, they want to know about you, but they can and know about you through storytelling.
And it's more like, like a comfortable conversation. Mm. And I think for our roles, it's not like we're a scientist or a lawyer or something. It's like, it's I don't know.
Have you ever said at the end of your spiel, like, oh, sorry, that was a bit long? Like, have you ever said that?
I probably have.
I totally have. This is going to be really helpful for me when I, like, listen back to it. Yeah. Because, like,
it's good. You already have your spiel.
Yeah, I do.
Not everyone has a spiel, I think.
Is it spiel or?
Spiel.
Spiel. You know, it's spiel. Yeah. Spiel.
But not everyone does, I think.
I think everyone does, no?
Do they? But not everyone has a consistent.
But so you think they change it up every time? Like,
okay, maybe I'm just thinking of some people I know that don't start. Like, I think that the story part sometimes is missing. But
There's different ways to do it. I feel like some people won't do the story thing and they'll just be like, I'm a blah, 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 4 years experience. You know,
I have like this key much strengths, experience this and this.
Yeah, that's it. Boring. No, just
because I'm sure maybe there's a way. It'd be good to have a way where it's like a shortened little story, but a better way to like show or express all the good things that you did, like more quickly.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, like it'd be good to have like.
I was just going to say.
You know how some people are really metrics focused? Like, I did this and then like it made the.
Tripled. Blah, like,
I don't know.
Like 200 times percent or whatever. I was going to say like I can probably use ChatGPT to write me one.
Oh my God,
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, ChatGPT is going to be my little career coach, I think. Thank God. It really came at a good time for me. Seriously. All those cover letters.
Good at a good time for everyone. I feel like we could have a topic on
AI.
AI and the good and the bad.
Oh yeah. Even like Midjourney. Have you heard of Midjourney or like DALL-E? Like no. AI for like drawing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like art and stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Pretty cool.
It's crazy. How and there's AI voices and stuff too.
Oh, you know what I'm going to use?
People are getting scammed right now.
What?
I think.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Shit. I was going to say like there's AI for like professional photos. Like.
Oh, yeah. There is.
So I can use that. It's really good for, I don't know. AI doesn't, it does scare me a little bit. But for me, that I can only see so many like there's benefits.
A lot of good things, yeah.
At the moment, for someone who's unemployed now. So, yeah.
You'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. I always hate, okay, one more thing before we end. Sorry.
Mm.
I always hate the end of an interview. Like, it's always like, you know, you're asking questions, like, after all your questions. And then in the end, it's like, oh, so what are the next steps? It's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I actually want to add one thing, like, tip that I got, speaking of interview.
Mm.
They said, if they ask you a question, like this is like a Google thing. Mm. Like I think there's all these tips from Google how to like do an interview successfully.
Yeah.
But on that document, it said when they ask you a question, you don't have to answer straight away. You could actually say, can I have a minute or two to think about this? Like think about the answer.
Yeah.
So you just actually step away and then you could like gather your thoughts and come up with a response and then respond. I thought that was such a good tip.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just like, you blurt something out. Yeah. Like I did a screening call and they asked me what my key strengths was. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't had this question in so long. And I was like, I just blurted shit out.
And they called you, right? So it's unexpected.
Yeah. I was like, oh, digital skills, teamwork, and like something else. I can't remember. I just pulled it out of my ass.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good to have a list of your skill strengths.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one as well. Actually, the third one was curiosity. Do you reckon that's a strength? My digital, like, skills.
Is this your real list?
Yeah, and curiosity. No, this is the one I just blurted out. I said I was curious.
Did you get that role in the end?
This is, like, it's part of my redundancy process. Oh. So it's, like, an internal thing.
Oh, okay.
So not sure yet.
I don't know if they want the real skills.
Yeah. The weakness one is harder.
Weakness is hard.
What's your weakness?
Weakness is hard.
Because it reveals a lot about yourself. Like you don't want to tell them too much.
I have a lot of weaknesses, but I don't want to tell them. Yeah, I don't want to tell them one that looks bad, right? So it's just like, damn.
You'll have to be something like not related to the role that you're applying for. Or I don't know, how do recruiters like look at that question? Like when you say this is my weakness, do they think of it as like, oh, that's something that they're working on, which is good? Or do they think, shit, this is a weakness, we can't hire her?
I think it's how you spin it. It's always how you spin it. Yeah. It's like it could be any week. Okay, let's just spin any weakness.
I'll go first this time.
Okay, you go.
My weakness, can I have a moment to think about it?
Yes.
Thank you. My weakness is that I can be too hard on myself.
Oh, okay. And how so?
Shit. I like to strive for the best at times. But that's why I've been really enjoying working in Agile, because it's more about like reiterating and doing MVPs, and it's really challenging me to let go more. So I find that to be very like beneficial for me as well. And I find it to like it's a very great learning curve for me. So
okay.
Is that it? I don't know, just
that's good. I think that's a really common thing, is like spinning a weakness into like positive characteristic about yourself,
but like
not it being too obvious.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, yeah, so I know. Oh shit, I've said that one before.
I've probably said that too, but it's such an easy one to say. I'm definitely not a perfectionist.
The being hard on yourself and agile, I don't think it really matches. But if I found a better one that matches, maybe like
being hard on yourself is a good one. Because it's true. It is your weakness.
It is. What about if it's like a technical skill? Like, oh, I'm not so good at with analytics, for example. you know.
I think that's fine if it's not for an analytics role.
So true.
Like, right? Like if you're doing content designer and you're saying, oh, analytics, I'm not that great at it, but it's something that I want to upskill on or work on more.
Yeah, maybe like public speaking.
Yeah.
Can you say something random like that?
Yeah, like, oh, presentations. I want to be able to do more I don't know. I'm just making stuff up right now.
Yeah, you just have to find the one that's least relevant to the role you're playing for.
Yeah.
So, Roxanne, what is your weakness?
Oh, my weakness right now is like, yeah, presentations, I think.
Mm.
I get a bit nervous and I think I just need to do it more.
Wait, are you talking to me? Like, me or like the recruiter me?
Yeah.
You're very conversational.
Yeah, presentations, I think I haven't – when if it's a small group, I'm fine. But then when it's a bigger group or in person, I definitely don't have the confidence or the experience in presenting. But I think I would do a good job of it, like from previous presentations. But I think it's just sometimes like the nerves and I need to get through that.
Mm, that's a good answer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah, I need to work on my one. That being hard on yourself, like that's too – I think it's too – you don't want it to be too of a sore spot as well.
Yeah.
Because then you get you bit could do, like
– take the presentation one.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that one. I can say, oh, I'm not good with presentations.
Not great. I'm not the best.
I'm not the best. Yeah, but I'm trying to work on it. Yeah. And in my spare time, I have a podcast with a friend. Yeah. You know, you can like then plug. Like
this podcast has not helped me with my presentation.
I reckon surely it has.
I don't know. Hopefully. I don't know.
But yeah, that's like an opportunity to show like, oh, I do other things outside of work.
Yeah, you know? True. Mm-hmm. It's good to talk about other stuff.
Yeah. That's normally the story I try and tell, like that I'm somebody who's really curious and I like trying different things.
For example, your podcast.
My podcast, like some, because it is related. Too. Yeah.
It is because you're creating a product and publishing it.
Yeah. Okay, well, today we don't actually have a soup section. We normally do like a let's get nourished part.
Yeah.
But we, you know,
we just don't have one.
We just don't have a soup.
Sorry,
we don't have one. But let us know if you really were looking forward to it.
I sounded like such a bitch. Just
sorry.
No, but
yeah, I hope no one was like really waiting for that moment. I'm sure.
Who's
I don't know. Let us know.
Do you miss the soup section?
Let us know.
Do you even care?
Yeah,
about that section.
Yeah. Let us know in the YouTube comments because we love those YouTube comments. Yeah, they're great. Do. But yeah, thanks guys for tuning in. Do you feel like Rox, I feel like we went pretty in depth into this.
We went deep into interviews and you know, we'll catch up with Jules soon and all the best. And I'm confident that you'll land something soon.
Thank you.
It has to be the right one, I think. Like just be picky, I reckon.
I just said in the beginning of the podcast I'm gonna be fluid.
Oh yeah,
picky and fluid. Like
find
fluid, a balance. Find a balance.
Yeah, something that you want.
Yeah.
Well, we will chat with you again, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.